Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It was a startling, stark, and chaotic scene. When the Spirit of God was brooding over the waters in the beginning, when everything was formless and void, it was all silent, and suddenly, breaking that silence was the voice of God. Let there be light. And there was light. Throughout the days of creation, God kept on speaking. He put everything that was formless and void, he gave it substance and form. He put things together, like kinds with like kinds. He put things into order. He organized them. He separated them. He made distinctions. Everything had its place. The sun was there, put exactly where God wanted it to be, each and every star and the moon. They were put there to rule over the day and over the night. Man was put there to rule and have dominion over creation. Everything had an order under God, its creator. That was a stark and startling, chaotic scene. As God spoke, things were put together and spread out and put into place. It was a startling and stark and chaotic scene. When then a foreign word came into the garden, surely you will not die. And so Eve took of the fruit of which God commanded both Adam and then Eve through Adam not to eat. Chaos ensued. They saw that they were naked and they were ashamed. They hid. That which God put on display, that which God had put into order and organized, suddenly was all then plunged back into disorder and disarray because of a foreign word. And not just because of a foreign word, but because his creation, the ones who were created in the very image and likeness of God himself, they did not prize that word of God, that order of God. They sought to get rid of it, to set it aside, to have their own way. Cast out from that garden they were. Barred. It was a startling and stark and chaotic scene when God once again through his word came with his destroying angel. And all the firstborn of Egypt were struck down by death. But here we see God's people clinging to the word and promise of God. They've sacrificed a lamb, slain, drained it of its blood, marked their lintels and doorposts so that the angel of death, the destroying angel, the angel that God had promised would come, would pass them by. The weeping and wailing and mourning, the sounds that came from those houses broke the silence of midnight, chaotic stark and startling. It was a startling and stark and chaotic scene once again when God had brought his people out of Egypt with a mighty arm and a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, brought them into the wilderness to the place where he said he would meet with them, where they would worship him, Mount Sinai. The sound of God's voice so frightened the people that they begged Moses that God would never speak to them again, but through a mediator. And so God spoke to Moses for 40 days and for 40 nights. The people grew weary of waiting for God to speak to them once again through Moses, for Moses to come back down to tell them what God had said. And so they set aside God's word. They erected a golden calf and worshiped that golden calf as though it were the one who had brought them out of Egypt. That scene is chaotic. They rose up to play. There is sounds that God says, "What is this sound of war down in the camp? What is going on?" Moses goes down, and the silence is broken. When Moses looks upon the people and they look up to him, and the crash of the Ten Commandments upon the ground. Fingers pointed just like with Adam and Eve. "It was you who gave me this woman. It was the serpent. It was this person." This time it was, "We threw gold in a fire and out came a calf. And so we should worship it." It was a stark, startling, and chaotic scene. Then when God, through Moses, commanded the people to melt that calf down, to pulverize it, to spread it upon the waters, and then for them to drink it. "This is what that gold is worth, for what must go in must come out." The wailing of that was stark and chaotic. It was a startling, stark, and chaotic scene when Nebuchadnezzar came with his hordes of armies and soldiers to destroy the temple in Jerusalem as God's own instrument. For the people had once again set aside God's holy word. They worshiped false gods. They wanted to look like their neighbors. They wanted to be just like them. The wailing, as they were starved out of existence, as the Babylonians surrounded Jerusalem and its wall, was a chaotic, startling, and stark scene. And it was a startling, stark, and chaotic scene when our Lord breathed his last. He is the Word made flesh. They sought once again to get rid of God's Word, to set it aside so that they could do what they wanted to do, what they desired to do. The graves of all those who had fallen asleep in Jerusalem burst open, an earthquake. The wailing of his disciples, the fleeing, the pointing of fingers. "Is it I? I do not know him." chaos. For there is always chaos. There is always chaos when God's word is set aside. For God's word brings order, distinctions. It sets things into place. And so naturally, when the chief priests and the scribes, when Pilate, when the disciples, when we put our Lord on that cross, chaos ensued, and it was a startling and stark scene. Our world is also a startling and stark, chaotic scene. It has rejected the word of God. It makes fun of Christians. It seeks to put us down. You see, they want to be gods themselves. They want to put us in place. They want to put us in a particular order that is completely and utterly disordered. They want to call a man a woman and a woman a man. They want to call evil good and good evil. And what of us? We let them. Do we argue back? Do we speak God's word so that his word can once again put things into place? We are Peter. I do not know him. Or what of our homes? They too are a startling, stark, and chaotic scene, bustling here and there, disordered and disorganized. Wives ruling over their husbands, husbands running away from their wives. Afraid to speak, afraid to do what God has given them to do, to not lord anything over, but to serve them by leading, to put things into their proper places, to have an organization. And our children rule us all. We run from this place to that place, ragged, barely sitting down to eat, often failing to pray. Our marriages are ending in divorce. And I am not talking about the world's. I'm talking about ours. For we too have set aside God's word. The very word that gathers things together, that puts things into place, that gives substance to that which has no form. And our lives. Our lives are not as they ought to be. For we have crucified the Lord of glory. We live not only in a dying world, but as those who are dying. You only need to look into the mirror. You only need to feel the aches and the pains when you get up, see the blood when you get cuts, to feel the shame of when you have failed once again to do what you have promised not to do. Those are startling, stark, and chaotic scenes within us. Things that play out in our mind's eye. Things that we have nightmares about. But the beauty of the startling, stark, and chaotic scene that took place at our Lord's crucifixion is that it doesn't just end with death. Our Lord rests in the tomb, and he comes back out on the third day. That his word still reigns. That no matter how much our world or our homes or our lives are disordered, the Lord in the heavens laughs. He laughs at the world for all the plans that they have to destroy his people. He laughs in our homes, not because he will destroy them, but rather because he will bring them back to life. The same with our lives. He laughs in the heavens for two reasons. For all those who plan and who mock him, he laughs because he will have the last word. And because he will have the last word, your homes will be resurrected, and so will your lives. For it is finished. He has forgiven you your sins. He has made you a new creation. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.